So, well, hey, so thankful you are here for this Christmas season. And obviously, these messages are always geared towards the holiday season and what we're experiencing. But you know, one thing I thought when I was preparing for today, I thought, it's interesting that we do get that Christmas feeling and we come to church and we're so excited, and it's a tradition for us. Many of us, we get all excited about the decorations and the music and all the desserts. But you know, this is where we need to know what the Word of God says. And there was a particular scripture that just stuck out to me where I thought it's interesting that we get more, and I put quotation marks, so look up everybody in my fingers, we get more Christian during December. And it's interesting because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus is the same in December as he is in January, as he is in February and March and April and May and June, July and August and September and October and November, and then again in December. So it's funny because traditions is something that we actually transmit over and over and over again between our families and who we are. And these traditions we create because of the season. There's so much that goes around it that we go, oh, this is it. This is the time that we really celebrate Jesus. So I was thinking that these traditions that we set are sad because a tree shouldn't be a constant reminder of, oh, it's that extra season of being a Christian. Because what are we training our generations to come in their experience with Christ? That, oh, they see a Christmas tree or they hear the music and they go, oh, it's more Jesus. And it's like, no, Jesus should be all year round. And that we need to be careful of how our traditions actually will transmit I want to say the right words because I don't want anyone to think that I'm like anti-Christmas, by the way. I love Christmas. But a lot of times pastors can get a bad rep because it's like, oh, down the man, down the system. And actually, there are people in the church that actually, they don't actually like to attend in December because of this. So that's why I really want to be as tiptoey as possible. But I don't want trees and the holiday season and all these things to skew our view of Jesus. Jesus obviously isn't a Christmas tree, and Jesus obviously isn't desserts and the Christmas music and the presents. We know this. But something around all of those customs and traditions will cause us to have more of a warmer feeling of fuzzies. And then we get depressed after Christmas is over, and then we're like, January. And it's this rotation that it's misfortunate because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to be more familiar with this. So it's actually found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I want us to read that this week with our generations to come, our little ones, that we explain to them that it's not about celebrating Jesus' birth only in December, but always for the end of time, because we have a Jesus that loves us, has always loved us, and will always love us, no matter what. He was in the past exactly who he is in the present, and it's precisely who he will be forever. In the Old Testament, they actually used the words yesterday and today as a continuity of, it was just a statement. It's a similar statement of telling your spouse that, you know, you will love them from the moon and back type of deal, as if that's real. But in the Old Testament, there was a statement to say that today and for yesterday and today, as if it was just this beautiful continuity of Christ will always be here, that he always loves us, that he will always surround us. And so for many of us in today's standards, as we just read in Hebrews 13:8, we need to also walk in this understanding and this phrase of yesterday and today. If you were to discover Jesus of the past, you're going to also discover him, the Jesus of today, the present, and discover that Jesus is the future because he's continuously the same. Now, this message of the gospel that we come across in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus came once for all. So why he defeated the grave was though that he's still living. This is something that was obviously, there was a lot of antichrist back in that day that would prophesy as if they came to life, but there's so much evidence of, and it's profound evidence that Jesus did rise from the grave and conquer the grave. There's evidence constantly, and for some of us, we watch the history or the Discovery Channel too often. You mix a little Jesus with aliens too often. You mix the idea that there could be maybe something off a little bit about the Bible, maybe not absolute accuracy. Some of you are like, you may have this universalist type of mentality. I get why you want to be a universalist, but I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. It's only Jesus Christ. The only reason why you don't want to believe that to the fullest is because you just don't want to see pain and anguish. You don't want to see people hurt and go to hell. We get that, okay? But the truth of the matter is, do something about it. I know you're like, I thought this was going to be a Christmas message. It was going to be warm and fuzzy. And you just told me how mean and awful I was. Yes, I am, actually. But here's the deal. We think that life is... We have a skewed perspective of life. It's like a seasonal moment of the warm and fuzzies. And it's not about warm and fuzzies. It's about fact. It's about truth. It's about what God's word says. God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when I read the scriptures, I see what the importance is of us as Christians and what we need to be doing and not just sitting on our hands. And my concern about the Christmas season is that, again, we just treat it as this warm and fuzzy month, and then come January, we neglect our relationship and our experience and our, I want to choose my words so wisely for all of you in this room. We neglect, because of the circumstances around us, God. And I understand that some of you are experiencing some things different than others and heavier than others, lighter than others. Somehow the Christmas season, though, will surround us like a warm, fuzzy blanket. Some, not necessarily all, but more so. And we're able to just compensate by just being like, well, it's Christmas, so I'm just going to just dismiss all these negative thoughts. And I'm going to focus on how wonderful the season is and being with family. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can do that in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. I know you're thinking, Josh, I already know all of the months, but I don't think you do September, October, November, and then December again. We have a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this message of him being sacrificed on the cross for us is forever. For him being raised from the grave is forever. That same power that raised him from the grave is the same power that lives in you, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be aware of this. The Holy Spirit isn't seasonal. The Holy Spirit isn't. It's Christmas time. Oh, I'll interject more of myself in you. That's what I'm going to do. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't do this. Holy Spirit is not aware of January, February, now for some of you, this may come across as tough. You feel as if life is passing you by, and you're like, oh, life's just so fast, and there's so much, but others, you may feel like Charlie Brown. So I thought I'd show you a Charlie Brown comic strip here. So it says, sometimes I feel that life is passed me by, and he sighs, obviously, and he says, do you ever feel that way, Charlie Brown? Of course he does not. No, I feel that it has knocked me down and walked all over me. Now, for us as Christians, we can all laugh, but truth be told, we don't have a revelation of Galatians chapter 6:9, right? So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, the assumption is that the pursuit of doing good can wear you out. So what happens is we just wear ourselves out. So, you know, being a good leader can wear you out. I know this. Being a good spouse or parent while carrying a 40-plus hour job a week, it can wear you out. And being a good example can just wear you out. I understand it. But our renewed strength is what's so beautiful about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he reigns. And when you have this revelation of that he reigns continuously, then what happens is you know that you have the strength from the power of the Holy Spirit to subdue anything the enemy or the world wants to throw at you, and that you gain that strength from him, that when you become weary, when you become weak in those moments of doing, you know that your strength, your wisdom, everything comes from him. That's why we celebrate, not just in December, but throughout the entire year. Now, how good do you have to be? Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we can grow weary just because we have this notion that we need to be good, like really good, the perfection of good. When is good enough? Like, when is good enough? And I know oftentimes you may ask the questions, where do you get the power and the energy to do this good when you're just so drained? I mean, basically, what I'm getting at is most of us will save it all for the month of December. There's an angel tree out there? People need a turkey? And you get what I'm getting at. I know you're like, Josh, you're being really mean, but I'm doing it with a smile. It's interesting. It's so interesting. We save it all for this month of like, oh, we can do so much good. But it's not really a matter of how good that we have to be or how good enough or the enough power and energy to be able to successfully do it. Because I think what happens is that we do it all on our own in the month of December. And we do it well. We do it well. I will give you props. You guys do it well. But then come January, you're like, it's depressing, it's sad, there's nothing to look forward to anymore. All the decorations come down. There's nothing to remind us of how just wonderful Jesus is. Now again, I hope you understand something. Like, as a pastor, I am not butchering Christmas. What I'm trying to do is remind you of how good Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever. I love decorations. I mean, hello. I'm the one who leads this out in the lobby. I'm like, it's decoration day. I'm like getting all the lights out and all this extra stuff. I'm like, we can do it. I'm the one who goes to Hobby Lobby and buys it all. And someone needs to go with me. Because I'm like, we need this, we need that. I'm currently looking for like a 20-foot tree that we can put it outside above the bridge. I want a big, giant tree, all right? I love these things, so don't get me wrong. And I, too, know that come January whatever, and we take all of this down in the lobby, I'm going to go, ugh, now it looks plain. But that's not a reason to then hibernate from the goodness of God and what we're supposed to do throughout the year. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not a season that we just sandbag all of our goodness for the month of December, and then we do it all on our own, and then basically just say, oh, I don't have any more to give. when it's the same power that raised him from the grave that lives inside of us, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome any circumstance, anything that's happening in life, and that we can continue to have the joy of the Lord being my strength, and that it's not a matter of me being good enough or having enough, but it's that he provides in those gaps. He provides in the valleys and in the mountains. He's the same. No matter the storm, no matter the wind, no matter the amount of rain, he's the same. And when you experience this, you'll start realizing, oh, I am not based, or my religion is not based upon seasonal encounters with Christ, but my interaction with him becomes far better than any religious ritual, tradition, or custom. And then it becomes a relationship where I say, this is Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, forever and ever and ever. So I love Paul's words in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through 29. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us, all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So where does this wisdom come from? God. Where does the power and energy to do good come from? God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, too often, it's the Christmas season, and we're like, I'm so good. I can do it all. I feel the fuzzies. And you get all excited. But then again, come January, you're like, bleh. I did all that I did in December. Because you did it only by your might. And then you begin to sit on your hands. You begin to make excuses. You begin to say, I did everything I could do. You begin to say, I got to take a break. Because you've grown weary. Because you did it on your own might. You do it with God. You work with him. And when you place yourself of doing what you're supposed to do, and then he makes up the gap, the difference, then you recognize, oh, this is a relationship. And it goes hand in hand. And it's a better relationship than in your own marriages. My wife and I, we love each other. But do you know how many times we have talks with one another in a week? Right? Those talks of like, hey, you know, you could help in the kitchen sometimes. And you know, deep down inside, I heard her. What's beautiful about the relationship with God is that it's supernatural, that he knows what you're capable of doing. He knows what you're able to do. And when you do that, then he makes up the gap for everything else. He's perfect.
Yes, he is.
He's perfect.
Yes.
He takes care of it. So your responsibility is to do what he's called you to do. He's never going to overstep his bounds with you. He's never going to push you too far. He knows what you're capable of doing. Now, there's revelation at times that comes with this, where you go, oh my gosh, I did more than I even thought I was capable or able to do. But man, isn't it wonderful? He brought me to this. God will put some little bit of pressure in there because he knows what he can see that comes out of you. He knows what's capable of doing it. And it's this beautiful revelation. You go, oh, I can do this in the month of March, not just in the month of December. Oh, it's capable of happening in the month of June when you just want to lay half naked on a beach because you deserve it. We get weary when we think the results depend on us. We get weary when we get frustrated with the pace of results. And we can definitely get weary when we take responsibility for things that we don't have to have authority in. So the importance of this is that you remember how Galatians 6:9 ends. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Many of us stop in the month of December, at the end of December. We just stop, you know. We give our last hoorah party January 1st or December 31st. And it's like, and now we partied for all. We deserve this party because look at all we did in the month of December. And then you wake up January 1st and you're like, bleh. Now the year begins. What's the year going to do? And then you try to conjure it up with all these, you know, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year. And you don't. I'm going to read 30 books this year. And you don't. You create all of this weird stigma of like what you can do and what you should do. How about you spend time with Christ and allow God to share those things with you that you actually will be successful with all of that. Instead of, okay, the world tells me, the Today Show said today, the top 10 things is what I should do here, right? Good Morning America says that the top 5 things are these. I'm going to try these things out. So we cannot forget what Galatians chapter 6:9 says. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So who determines the timing? God. Who's responsible for the harvest? God. Yeah. So when we try to do God's work the way we think it should be, it doesn't end very well, does it? So when we trust that God will do his part, we do ours, it lives well. It does what it needs to do. And the chances of finishing will greatly increase. And God's got this, right? So trust him. Trust his timing. But you've got to begin to lean on this timing. You got to know why we should. So in Psalm 102, 25 through 28, it says, long ago, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you will remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them, but you are always the same. You will live forever. The children of your people will live in security. Their children's children will thrive in your presence. This is the message that we should be sharing with the generations. We shouldn't be in a tradition or a custom of creating an environment of December. Of this is the time we celebrate Jesus the most. Oh, and then there's that one other time, Easter. It's year around, and we can do this daily. Daily, we find ourselves in the presence of God. Daily, do we encounter him. Daily, do we recognize what we should do, what we should be doing. Daily, meaning that you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, today is the day the Lord has made, and I shall and I will rejoice. Lord, what is it that I need to be doing today? Lord, what are the things I should be sacrificing? What are the things I should be picking up? What are the things I should be putting down? Lord, who should I encounter this year? This today? What should I be focused on today? Lord, what can I do in your presence today? When we do this and we train and we show our generations before us the goodness of God, what happens is they won't fall victim to this seasonal celebration of who Jesus Christ is, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same power that raised him from the grave, is the same power that lives in us, and that should be celebratory every single day, because that brings success in what we should be doing as Christians. Success in encountering our Savior on a consistent basis, but also not only just encountering Jesus on a consistent basis, but it's experiencing the glory of God in exactly the form and fashion that James 1 presents to us. That if anything is lacking, if you lack of anything, oh, count it all joy. That you can call upon my name. That's right. And I will come in and I will give you the wisdom you need, the strength you need. I will take care of you. and you get to experience the power of God. So let's go to the very beginning, the prophecy of Jesus to come, Isaiah 9:2. So in Isaiah 9, you'll see as you read that, and most of you probably will this season, I hope that you do, is that this is the prophecy of Jesus to come and the importance of him. So in Isaiah 9:2, it says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." For us as Christians, it's not good enough, and I'm going to say it in the hands of a human being saying it's not good enough, because I know it's contradictory to everything I've been saying, that it's not a matter of how much good you have, but it's sad to me, again, that we treat December as the month where it's like, I will be so more willing to tell people about Jesus is Lord, but come February, you're just kind of like, maybe. And it's sad. But I see that we have the light that shines. This was a prophecy 1,000 years prior to Jesus Christ coming, and now he's in our presence. We have the same power that dwells in us, the same power that raised him from the grave. We have this shining light, and there's so much darkness that surrounds us that it's really sad for many of us in this room that we hide that light and we don't shine it. And I do believe the reason why that takes place is because we aren't consistent on a day-and-day basis to spend time with the Lord. And here's why. With what little we've discovered about light, and I know I'm maybe going off kilter just a slight bit for some of you in this room, but with little that humans have, and I humbly speaking, I could have it wrong, all right? Or Einstein could have it wrong. But in the theory of relativity and all that the science has discovered with light, that light, unless absorbed, will continue. But it doesn't stop. And that's why you've heard maybe the theory of why the heavens continue to keep expanding and growing due to the fact that that God said, let there be light. And when he spoke that into existence, that's why the heavens continue to expand and grow. So we've heard that before. If you haven't, well, I'm a genius and you just heard that for the first time. But knowing that light will continue without being absorbed. Now, what's wonderful about the power of the Holy Spirit is that I believe, again, humility here, I could be wrong. I believe that Jesus is that light, and we'll read about it in just a second. That's factual. But I believe that when we get in front of Jesus to absorb that light, the Holy Spirit actually within us reflects that light. That we absorb it, we don't reflect the light of Jesus. We're just a case, a shell to absorb, but the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you will continue to emit that light. But sadly, when we don't spend time in the presence of God, when we choose not to do what he's called us to do, what happens is that you are living in the dark. You're not in a position to receive the light. You're not going to the Father and you're doing what you're supposed to do. One of the reasons why we actually named our church Trailhead Church, not just to be some cool fancy church. In Proverbs 16:9, it said, "In a man's heart he plans his course, but the Lord will determine his steps." So we believe that if you do not have Jesus in your life, then you're walking aimlessly, that you have no purpose. But when you encounter Jesus, and you can encounter him here at the Trailhead, then what happens is that then your life actually has purpose and has meaning. So you're not walking around aimlessly and with just this void of life. So when you encounter Jesus at the Trailhead, then you have that purpose. With that purpose, that whether it's daytime or nighttime, that light emits from you And you're able to see where you need to go. You're able to see what you need to do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's with the presence of Jesus, that encounter with him, that same radiance that Moses comes off of the mountain with, so radiant, and then all the people, all the Israelites decided to, it was for him to cover his head, which is so sad. They should be walking around themselves because literally they are blind. But they force Moses to cover his head because he's so bright and he's hurting their eyes. But we are an attraction. The flip of the Old Testament to the New Testament is now that the light that comes out of us, that radiant light, is an attraction to the goodness of God that people go, I want to experience this. Sadly, though, we sit on our hands because of the earthly, worldly seasons that we've created this tradition of ebb and flow. And we need to get out of that. We need to separate it. Yes, I love trees, and yes, I love lights, and I love the cakes and the seasonal cookies and all those things. All those things are great. But that doesn't dictate my relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can't create a relationship based upon these little goodies. When you smell something, oh, it reminds me of Jesus. What? That's ridiculous. So light, as long as it doesn't get absorbed by something, will continue. So let's read John chapter 1:1-5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John is using a parallel of what Isaiah 9 is saying, but then saying what Genesis 1 had shared with us of that experience of creation is that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. That light is continuously shining. Therefore, we need to be that absorption of that light, because it reflects out of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, which was necessary. If you continue to read in Hebrews and in Galatians chapter 3, knowing that Abraham, we are actually in that same blessing now. We've been grafted into that family. So when you know all of the scriptures and how it all lines up, you realize the power of the Holy Spirit is so important. And through that power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us, because Jesus said, it's far greater, Peter, that I leave you. Peter, I know that you love me, but Peter, it's far greater that I leave you, because he's going to send the Comforter. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit brings comfort, brings peace. The Holy Spirit brings strength and wisdom. The Holy Spirit will share with us what God is doing, his purpose, so that you're not in the darkness. So the Holy Spirit is everything. So that's why Jesus said, hey, it's so important that I leave, because now you can receive the Holy Spirit, and now you'll be able to be a witness to all. A witness. The Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you will correct you, will convict you, so that when the ebb and flows of life come, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, then what happens is that no matter what comes your way, you're actually able to resist the devil. You're able to overcome any obstacle, any care of this world, because the Holy Spirit will come in and meet those needs with you, for you, around you. And people will say, how is it that he or she is so different? Anytime I get quiet like this, there's a hesitation of how far I want to go. Isn't it just like the devil for us to focus on pronouns? When pronouns actually doesn't define us, it's adverbs. Adverbs. Faithfully, on time. Isn't it interesting? I don't care if you want to be a he, she, they, them, whatever. It's adverbs. Are you faithful? It's so interesting. People get so focused on all of these weird things, but are you faithful? Now, some of you are like, oh, he doesn't care about those. I care about everything. I care about the distraction that the enemy tries to throw at us. But I look at this and I go, think about who and what we are doing. And I think it's sad because we focus on the nonsense of this world. Yeah. It's such a great, on such a great measure of ignorance. Our position as Christians should be that we are faithful. We fight nonsense battles if we were just faithful. Do a study on adverbs, and you would be like, oh, yeah. I want to be an on-time person. I want to be a faithful person. I want to be a trustworthy person. That defines you. When you look at what God is saying defines you as a human being, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that it's actually possible. That it's through His power and His might alone, not yours, that He actually supersedes and causes you to be who you've been called to be. From the very beginning. Yeah. It's interesting. Some of you, maybe you're feeling vulnerable, and maybe there's at times you feel drifting away, and there's this ever-changing tides of culture. Again, these are external. If you focus on the presence of Jesus, if you get before Him and you absorb His light, you get before Him in His presence, and you go, man, you become that reflection of the light shining in the darkness, and you're just in His presence constantly. You would say, I'm not worried about your traditions and the customs and the storms and the cares and what the culture's doing and what everyone's saying. No, I'm going to remain faithful. My advice for some of you this morning is just to get in front of Him. This is the same problem that Gideon had. The Midianites are fighting. The Midianites are coming against the Israelites. And what's he doing? He's hiding in the wine press. He's threshing his wheat in the wine press. He's hiding from the Midianites. And this angel appears to him and basically says, hey, what are you doing? I'm hiding from the Midianites. And it's sad because too often, because of this world, we just want to hide. We don't want to be bold in our faith. We don't want to be bold in who we are. We want to hide. We want to hide. We want to hide. We want to hide. So what happens? God calls Gideon out of that wine press and says, hey, we've got some big things. Now, it's actually mentioned in the prophecy of Jesus Christ to come in Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 9:4, it says, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. We are living in a current state of being that Jesus has crushed our oppressors. He has brought us out from the rod of our oppressors. He has destroyed the army of the Midianites, which was a devil-worshipping society. And he's using the type and the shadow of Gideon and the Midianites to know that, hey, what God can do is far greater than what even he did with Midian, because he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. The same power that raised him from the grave is living inside and dwelling in us so that we have the same power. Now, I thought for some, and I showed Pastor Adam this morning, and he was like, man, I've never thought about this either. And I go, I know, right? So I thought I'd show you this graphic that really helps with the 300 of Gideon's army to show it to the army of the Midianites, which would be 135,000. So that little line over there, all the little dots. By the way, if you'd like to help contribute to a new projector, it's only $23,000, just FYI. We'd like to have a new one, but FYI, I'm just throwing that out there. There's 300 the armies of Gideon, and 135,000. These are the dots. The same God that took care of Gideon with the Midianites is the same God that lives today, yesterday, and forever. So come January, when your seasonal feelings fade away, wake up to knowing what God is doing today.
That's right.
Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. John 8, 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. It's factual, this light. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are you a light carrier or are you a light barrier? Acknowledging that we should be that light carrier is acknowledging that we are willing to get before the Lord and we're to always cast our cares at his feet, that we're to pick up his yoke and to say, Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do with this light? Because I will tell you, if you're not doing anything with it, then you're just hiding it. I have a flashlight in my cabinet. One of those big mag lights. You know why it's there, in case the electricity goes out, right? Not too long ago, someone said, hey, electricity's out. And I said, well, there's that mag light up there. It's that big black one. Kid grabbed it, turned it on. Dad, doesn't work. Well, it's because the batteries are dead, son. He said, well, why'd you let the batteries go dead? Why do we let the batteries go dead? Because we put it away. We put our Bible on the coffee table underneath, stacked with all the other books. It's because you don't get it out and you don't use it. If you use it every day, you would know all batteries need to be changed, right? If you open up the Bible and you put this into practice, you would say, oh, this is so good. Oh, it's so good. Never get enough of it. So it is the bread. So in Matthew 5, 14, 16, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I want you to ask a few questions this week to yourself. Since Jesus is exactly the same today as he was in the four Gospels, what does that tell you about his will concerning healing the sick? If you have the app, these are in the message notes. Second question I'd like for you to ask is since Jesus is exactly the same today as he was in the Old Testament, what does that mean about where he stands on issues of morality? And the third question I'd like for you to ask is since Jesus is exactly the same today as he was, as he will always be, how can you better predict his future actions, responses, and behavior? So let me say that again. Since Jesus is exactly the same today as he will always be, how can you better predict his future actions, responses, and behavior? To give you a hint, it's all right here. Too often we complicate it. Too often we allow the ebb and flow of life and these seasonal moments to just kind of dictate how we should be in relationship with Jesus. And that is so far from the way it should be. We need to be so connected all the time. Never being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but staying continually present in his presence. So my challenge for you starting this season, this is December the 3rd, starting this season of holidays, is don't get so caught up with this emotional swings of smells and tastes and sounds, but to just get in his presence and allow that to carry you through January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and then December again. Because you being the light of this world, you being the reflection of that light through the power of the Holy Spirit will change the course for generations to come, and they won't rely on traditions of sounds and smells and music. And when things happen to them in January, or things will come their way in March or in July, their God is consistent. They will know who they are in Christ Jesus, and that's what matters. Let's pray.